Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
What is in your heart? What does your heart look like? Good people, when we think in regard to the heart, as we would look to the body, is a very vital part or organ of the body. If an individual is having problems with their heart, that is the ticker, they will experience pain. They will have things that they are limited in being able to do in life. And if their heart condition is very serious, in all of that, it could even lead to the ending of their life. Understand that not only is this true whenever it comes to the physical heart, it is also the case whenever it comes to our spiritual heart. Tonight, what is in your heart, and is your heart right with God? Good people, when we think in regard to the heart, the biblical heart is the mind, and it has many functions. In fact, we understand, as the Scripture explains, is that people reason from within the heart. What do we find in regard to this? The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a person's heart is, it defines really and truly who the person is. In fact, we learn from the words of Christ in the book of Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, He says that as a man reasons within, he is reasoning from the heart, from his mind. And in all of that, we can have good and godly thoughts, or we can have thoughts that are ungodly. In that, people are prone to think evil thoughts, and then they devise evil plans, and then they meditate upon evil actions. You say, Kevin, what's so serious about all of this? Good people, not only do we find is that people think these things, it eventually comes out. Input determines output. Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke explains it in this way, adding, he says, for out of the evil treasures of the heart, and then the abundance of the man's heart, he then speaks. Well, what is he saying? He says the things that is within us, the things that characterize who we are, will eventually come out verbally. Man can control himself, but yet at the same time, man's not truly able to tame himself. Eventually, that which defines him is going to be spoken throughout the course of his life. But also we understand is that people engage in evil from the heart. Thoughts determine action, and that action has everything to do with our life. Ultimately and eventually, we find concerning individuals who have an evil heart and will speak evil things, is that these things are going to be true also when we consider the total of their life. We understand that these things defile the man whenever they come out. And where do those who engage in adultery or fornication, where does that come from? The Bible says that comes from the heart. Look at Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Why do we have murder in the world? Why do we have thievery and all sorts of ungodliness? Because these people have an evil heart. They think upon these things. They plan this way of life, and they meditate, and then based out of what is in their heart, we find is that it is true whenever it comes to their actions throughout the course of their life here. A man's heart faces many challenges in life. In fact, we understand is that some people are slow to heart. Jesus spoke of this in the book of Luke chapter 24 verses 13 through 25, and we understand is that some were very slow to believe from the heart that Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven. We understand concerning Agrippa that this man was not easily persuaded to become a Christian. And people, not only then, but people today, lack motivation. And based out of that lack of motivation, they also lack a commitment to do the things that God commands us to do. They are slow in heart. And yet at the same time, we find is that some people are challenged because they have a heart that is troubled. So many people in life deal with sorrow. They deal with difficulties and trials. And during those times, they will allow that sorrow, or they will allow the trial or the difficulty that they're facing to hinder them in their relationship with God. God wants you and me to understand, as is taught in Psalms 34 and verse 18. He says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. God does not want us to be troubled in heart to the point to where it takes us away from serving Him, obeying Him, and then living our life for Him. But rather, God realizes that we face challenges in life, and He says that during those times, then lean on Him and allow our heart to understand the significance of having God constantly in our lives. Others are driven by the material things, and therefore they have a material heart. These type of individuals look to the world. They see all of the pleasures that one can engage in this life. They then not only look upon these things, they begin to lust upon the many things that money can buy, and they long for the material things that the world has. And then before they know it, they are laying up for themselves treasures on earth, where moth, dust corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. And the Bible tells us that this individual has a heart that is set upon the world versus a heart that needs to be focused upon our God. There are indeed multiple problems with man's heart. Some hearts, we understand, according from the Bible, they are far from God. And understand is that this is nothing that is new. In fact, from the Old Testament Scripture, we realize concerning Israel. Israel, God's chosen people, at various times, the Bible reveals concerning these individuals who should have walked with God continually, they walked away from God. Why did they walk away from God? Good people, because their heart was far from Him. I believe that we can also take and apply that today in the religious world, can't we? When we think about those in the denominational world, they draw near to God with their lips. But what is it that Jesus said concerning those individuals? He said that their heart is far from Him. And not only do we find this to be true with the Old Testament, with Israel, and in our modern age with denominationalism, but good people, in like figure, some brethren can be like that. If we do not serve God fully, if we lack in doing the things that God commands of us, well, what's the root of the problem? The root of the problem is that the individual's heart is far from God. And God wants us to draw near to Him. And when we draw near to Him, good people, then by all means, it would be characteristic then to say that we have a good heart, a heart that does love God and wants to follow Him. Yet at the same time, we realize, as is revealed from both the Old and New Testament Scripture, there are some hearts that are divided. Why? Why do we find concerning Israel that they dealt so-and-so with God, that sometimes they follow God and other times they seem to go after the things of the world? Well, good people, it is because the world had an impact upon them. They were divided between serving God and serving self. They were divided between serving God and going after the idols of the day. And God commanded these individuals that they could not have a divided loyalty. Because if they divided their loyalty, in reality, they had no part with God. In like figure, we understand, as we go to the New Testament Scripture in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the Laodiceans. It said concerning the Laodiceans that because they were neither hot nor cold, but because they were lukewarm, God said that He would spew them out of His mouth. Well, what is it that God is saying? Good people, God is saying that we cannot be lukewarm. God is saying that we cannot have one foot in the world and another foot in the church. And somebody says, Kevin, are you saying that we need to separate ourselves completely from the world? Good people, by all means, God expects us to live in the world, but yet at the same time to not be as the world, to not live like the world. And if we live like the world, then we do have a foot in the world and trying to have a foot in the church, and we will not be successful in that. We will be like the Laodiceans, and we will be like Israel, who had a divided heart. You and I need to have a good and honest heart, as was our Scripture reading a few moments ago, wherein that whenever God's Word is sown and we obey God then from the heart, is that God then is the recipient of every focus
or every part of our being throughout the course of our life here. Yet at the same time, the Bible reveals unto us is that some people have a problem with their heart because they have a hard heart. We go back to the Old Testament Scripture and we learn concerning the Jews is that they were rebellious because they had a hard heart. And this is also brought forth from the Hebrews writer in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verses 1 through 11. They had a spirit of disbelief and that spirit of disbelief led to the hardening of their heart. And you know, as I look to the world today, I find so many who are just like that. During the life of Christ, the Pharisees had a hard heart to the point to where they become dull of hearing. And if you and I are not careful in our life, we too can fall into that same sad situation to allow our heart to become hardened to the point to where as Christians we would walk away from God, or to those who had not obeyed the gospel to where we would tune Him out and the path that He commands us to go in obedience and constantly throughout the course of our life. You know, God is always working upon our heart. The Bible tells us that God continually tries the heart. Well, what does it mean that God tries the heart? David says, I know that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. Jeremiah asserts, he says, you know me, you have seen me, you have tested my heart towards you. Well, what do we learn in all of that? Good people, God in testing the heart is not tempting us, for whenever we are tempted, we're not tempted by God. Why? Because God is not tempted, neither tempts He any man, but rather we are tested. Well, what's the difference? To be tempted means that God is laying before us. God is responsible for putting temptation out there in front of us and dangling like a carrot to get us to go off base. But yet at the same time, testing is where God knows that we can be tempted, and He knows that Satan is present in this world, and He allows Satan to go to and fro upon the face of the earth, tempting us. And the test is for you and me to draw us closer unto God. It is to prove our faith. It is to strengthen our belief. And it is to develop a trust in God. A trust that is unparalleled to any other type of trust, faith, or belief that man will find characterized in life. But you know, we understand also concerning God's work is that God knows the heart. God, He looks at our life and God sees everything that takes place in this world, and that within itself ought to challenge us. It ought to motivate us to live our life faithful to God. But understand, not only do we realize that is that God knows the things that we do in life, God also knows and He sees the heart. And in all of this, David says that concerning God, he says, would not God search this out? He knows the heart. God's able to see inside us. God's able to understand our mind. To some, that may be challenging. To true Christians, that ought to be comforting. Amen. But as we think in regard to God knowing the heart, God sees everything. And God wants us to understand that as He sees the secret things in our life, those things are made known to us so that you and I will realize the power of God, that we will appreciate the love of God that He demonstrates in Christ. And based out of those things and God's understanding of us is that we will strive to live our lives according to His high and holy standards throughout the course of our life by changing our heart to serve God. The Bible also reveals concerning God's operation upon the heart is that God opens and establishes the heart. We have concerning Lydia is that God opened her heart. And if you look to the context of Scripture, He's not teaching Calvinistic doctrine. Calvinistic doctrine's not taught anywhere in the Bible. But rather, what is going on here is that Lydia had a desire to serve God. Lydia had a desire that she wanted to know about God. And therefore, Lydia's heart was opened. And God then therefore placed before her an opportunity to learn of Him. The heart that is open will be taught of God, and that heart that is open will love God, and that heart then who loves God will have a faith in God, and then based out of that, then that heart will obey God. and therefore they will be established in God as one of His children. The Lord's goals for working upon man's heart, as God wants us to understand, is that His Word must be sown in the heart. You and I need to be that good soil. The Word of God is how we come to an understanding of who God is. It is through God's Word that we come to realize that, where He offers salvation, and that it's only provided in Christ. And as we come to a realization concerning sin and the way that we can be forgiven of sin through Christ, good people, we must evaluate that, the message of Christ, and we must examine our heart as we receive that Word, the Word that God seeks to sow in the heart. And if we truly have a good heart, we will receive that and allow it to go deep into the soul. That will not only lead us to obedience, but in like figure it shall drive us to faithfulness throughout the course of our life here. You see, as God's Word is sown into our heart, man has a responsibility to become convicted from the heart. God does not want us to respond in a nonchalant manner. God does not want us to obey Him just out of fear. God does not want us to put Christ on in baptism because that's what our parents expect out of us, or because, you know, our families have been members of the Lord's church for many, many years. God wants us to obey Him from a heart that is convicted. Convicted of what? From a heart that is convicted of sin. To realize that when we violate God's law, that God looks at that as sin, and to understand the seriousness and the significance of all of that. And to see sin the way in which God views sin. How that it separates us from Him. And good people, those who have a heart that is focused upon God, those who have a heart that truly wants to serve God, when they find that out, they will truly be convicted to the point to where the conscience will play upon them, that they will have sorrow, they will have regret, and their heart will be pricked, as what we find is the case in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. At Pentecost, they became pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And then, based out of that conviction, you and I will obey God. We will obey Christ in baptism. And the Bible then tells us that out of that obedience, Christ then comes to dwell in our heart. How does Christ dwell in our heart? Good people, He does not do this in a mystical way. He does not do this in any sort of a miraculous way. The way in which the Bible defines that Jesus is able to dwell in our heart is that He dwells in our heart through faith. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, He dwells in our heart through the Word of God, and therefore the more and more that we read the Word of God and apply it to our everyday walk of life, then we have Christ dwelling in us more and more. He abounds in our life. He is constantly present in our life. And then, through our steps, through the steps that you and I take constantly each and every day of our life, Christ is dwelling in our life as long as we are stepping in the steps of Christ. You say, "Kevin, what are you trying to say?" As Paul states in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20, Christ dwells in our life Christ dwells in our hearts, rather, by dwelling through our life. Paul says that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What are the requirements for you and me in order for us to have a heart that will be pleasing and acceptable to God? Good people, you and I must do all that we can each and every day to prepare our heart. Samuel told Israel that if they were going to be pleasing to God, that they needed to prepare their heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3, I read, he says, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you turn to the Lord with your hearts, then put away the foreign gods
and the Ashtaroths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines." We also understand concerning Job. Job says, "If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward Him." Well, what is God trying to say that is involved in us preparing our hearts in a way that will please God? God says that it requires action. It requires work that you and I must not only want to do, but you and I must do, participate in each and every day of our life. But then in like figure, we must believe God. We must believe from the heart. We realize, as is taught in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." What type of faith, what type of belief does God want you and me to have from the heart? 100% out with doubt. 100% we believe in God. In fact, notice what is taught in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. He says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You and I need to make certain that whenever we believe God, that we believe Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then in like figure, God wants you and me, in order to be pleasing and acceptable unto Him, to obey Him and to serve Him from the heart. This was required of Israel. It was required of those in the first century. And good people, it is in like figure required of you and me today. That if we are going to serve God, we've got to pour ourselves fully into it. I can only imagine how God feels from time to time with those who are lukewarm, with those individuals who say that they are members of the Lord's church, but yet at the same time, when they go outside of the church building, away from the church members, they live their life contrary to the will of God. Or even whenever it comes to working in the church, is that you can tell from their heart is that they're not serving God fully, but rather they're just going through the motions. I can only imagine how God feels about those individuals. God wants us in our service to Him to love Him, to want to do all that we can for Him based out of the love and appreciation that we see that He has for us. Tonight, we ask you the question, how does your heart look in the sight of God? Is your heart right with God? We have in the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 12 through 21, where multitude of both men and women had obeyed the gospel. There's an individual there also that is mentioned, Simon the sorcerer. This man made his living by tricking people. And in that though, whenever he heard the gospel message about Christ, the Bible tells us that he, along with the men and women of that day, were baptized into Christ. In that, not long after his baptism, he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He saw the power of the Holy Spirit and the wheels start to turn in his mind. Boy, if I could only have that ability, I could really make money. And good people understand, not only did he conceive this in his heart, he acted upon it. And based out of that action then, he's rebuked by Peter. And Peter reveals unto him that he needs to repent before God. That is, he needs the forgiveness of God once again. But understand what also Peter said concerning this man and his thought and his actions. He says, "Your heart is not right with God." Maybe tonight your heart has not been right with God. If your heart has not obeyed the gospel, if your heart is a heart that has been obedient to the gospel, but yet at the same time have walked away from God, the same answer would apply to you tonight. Your heart, in reality, is not in the right condition or state with God.